This is Eduardo,
Xavier Puente, Benjamin,
and today we're recording episode 13 of Beyond Every Toy Aisle. If you guys can please give a round of applause to Rob Tosh.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to the Beta Podcast. Thank you, Eduardo, Benjamin, Xavier, for having me on. Really looking forward to hearing your future endeavors, and yeah, let's get it started.
Thank you.
So we always like to ask our people we interview, you know, so where did you start off? How did you start collecting?
Yeah, so primarily I've always been a huge comic guy, so a lot of my fandom has started from there. A lot of my early comics came from my dad and my older brother. They had a stash of comic books. They weren't really collectors per se, but they always looked at comics as a form of entertainment, kind of inexpensive, and superheroes and action comics and kind of sword and sorcery like Conan and stuff like that have always been around the house as entertainment. And so early exposure to that, you know, late 70s, early 80s, reading the hand-me-down comics were really a big influence on me. I don't think it really was until G.I. Joe came out, the 3 3/4 G.I. Joes, that I think I got my finger into the the collecting industry, and that's really where it was all started. So,
do you have any of your old?
I do have a few of my original G.I. Joes from that era. I have Snake Eyes version
gotta
2.
Have that version,
yeah,
two.
Version 2.
1985
came with the Wolf.
Yeah,
that one
Timber.
I still hold. That one I still hold. I have Clutch, which is actually the very, very, very first figure that I ever had, and that was a gift. My brother, who's 10 years older than me, he got a job when he was high school at Sweetwater High School, and he and his buddy had got a job at a Chinese place busing tables. So with their first paycheck, they went to Toys R Us, which was right there, just looking around. My brother, who was had a bunch of G.I. Joes, he had the 12-inch Joes and was a fan of that, had purchased the G.I. Joe Jeep. It was the first
van.
Jeep that came out, the Ram van, and it had Clutch, the driver in it. And his buddy's like,
hell yeah,
he's
man.
Like, man, that's really cool. You know, how nice of you to buy that for your brother. And my older brother was embarrassed. He was like, damn, he thought he was buying it for himself. But his buddy shamed him into you know, like, oh, what are you buying toys for, guy? Oh, and so he begrudgingly gave me that and helped me put it together and had his fun with it, too. But ever since that, you know, taking that little figure, putting him in the driver's seat, kind of gave me control over, you know, my own destiny. I said, you know, I see myself in that. Put me behind the wheel and you know, create your own stories,
your
own tales.
Yeah.
And
so you'd be outside and driving it around and in the dirt and everything.
Down in the dirt, yeah, getting dirty. And you know, a lot of the toys and stuff that I got were 2 times a year. I was lucky to have a birthday in May and you know, kind of middle of the year, right going into summer, and
Christmas.
So those were the 2 times a year that you could really get anything. You know, I never thought that we were poor, but in hindsight and looking at it, you know, we had to definitely challenging times. You know, my dad was in the Navy, 3 kids, you know, split from my mom pretty early in my life. So, you know, he was really the number one breadwinner, and it was challenging at times. And there was some, you know, I remember a certain Christmas where it was just, all I got was one Hot Wheel,
yeah.
You know, and that was it. But I was, hey. That's what you get. That's what you get.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you get.
You were grateful.
Yeah, I'm one of those, man.
Yeah. So, I think, I don't know why I didn't click more into Hot Wheels at that point. I always liked them, but I never became a Hot Wheel guy per se. I share those with my little boy. We were at this National City Swap Meet last week when you guys were doing the podcast too, and he found this little boat that carries all the cars. I saw it. You know, kids, you know, I don't want to say kids these days because, you know, everybody's a little bit different, but my kids, specifically my little boy who's six, he doesn't play with toys a lot. He has a fair amount of toys, but he likes video games. You know, he might spend a little bit too much time watching people play video games. That kind of bugs me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
when they sit there on YouTube, right? Like,
oh, you're going to spend your time. You know,
might as well play.
Might as well play, but they enjoy that. So yeah. I don't give them too much of a hard time. But since we got that little boat, you know, it was like an exploratory car mover or something. I think that's the most I've seen him play with toys and you know, since Christmas, probably.
Oh, dang.
Wow.
That's
cool.
And that's just sometimes what it is, because I have my son as well. And like I tell these guys, my son, I can leave my toy collection on my desk. My son won't even there go. And so what I've noticed, he's been doing a lot. I'm setting up at home. It's an Avengers. Like a little, there's the staircase. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting all the Avengers, and he's recognizing all the characters. So he's sitting there now wanting to touch. I'm like, go ahead. Go ahead. And he's like he grabbed the Vulture this morning. He was looking at it, and he's like, can I have this? I'm like, I don't know if you can have it. You can play with it.
Yeah. Going back to, you mentioned earlier that maybe you didn't gravitate too much to the Hot Wheels stuff. Do you think a big factor that has to do because Hot Wheels, at least from my knowledge, doesn't have like a cartoon or something of the sort? Do you feel like you're more inclined to collecting stuff that has
like a series
or something, like a movie or something?
That's interesting you mentioned that, because it, you know, with G.I. Joe especially, I had received that toy before I actually saw the cartoon.
Yeah.
So I didn't have preconceived ideas about what it should be or how you're supposed to play with them. At that point, I think I may have only had little plastic Army Men. So Army Men was Army Men to me.
Like, yeah. So it was like an upgrade, basically.
It was.
Yeah,
fully poseable.
Yeah.
And there was, on the back of the RAM, it had a machine gun that you can move the plastic, toggle back and forth, and the barrels would... Dugga, 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 you know, they would move back and forth like a punch action. So that was, you know, that was huge.
Game changer.
It was a game changer. But as far as not having a, you know, a cartoon to go along with it, I don't think that was the case. I think that it was, I didn't see it as people, maybe, you know, and I didn't.
At least not to me, but. I don't know about you guys, but I assume that a lot of people, they're car enthusiasts, and basically that's why. Like, I'm not really too much of a car dude. Like, if I need to get it fixed, I'll most likely go to a mechanic. So it's like, you know, I can't fix it myself. And I know there's a lot of people that like cars and stuff, but and they don't do the work. But then there's others that are like super dedicated, you know.
Right. And the thing is with that, like me, like I like to do customs on the Hot Wheel cars. And there's a lot of guys on different groups that cringe on that. You know, they want the car to stay the way it is, the paint job that it came with, the wheels that it came with, should stay like that. So I think that's what it is with a lot of these Hot Wheel guys, is that, you know, they want, you know, the way the original, whatever. They don't want nobody to touch it. I remember one time there was this guy on one of the groups. All I did was switch the wheels. Man, he got on the Facebook, started like, oh no, like you should never have touched the wheels, that, you know, that's the way the Mustang, the way it came, that's the way they put out the wheels and blah blah blah. And I was like, whoa, like calm down, let's step back a little bit. And but I thought that the wheels, because they were rubber, like, you know, they looked nice on him and stuff like that. But this guy is like, he went like hardcore on that. But that's the thing, it's just like, you know, say is that they're car enthusiasts. And you know, maybe whenever you're younger, you know, people like different kind of cars and stuff, like, so that's what they get into.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I know that growing up, we always had a shabby car, like, you know, we never had a real cool car as a kid growing up. You know, I remember this Chevy Pinto station wagon that we had, and when my dad brought that home, I was like, dude, this car is so cool. You're not going to find too many people that said, you know, Pinto station wagon is the coolest car they've ever seen. But I do like cars. You know, I'm pretty handy, and I don't know if fixing cars myself, not to get away too far from toys, is, you know, I see that as another toy for people, you know, cars, you know, they tinker on their car. Yeah. I got buddies, there's nothing wrong with your car. What are you doing under there? Yeah. You know, like I'm not getting under the hood unless I hear some knocking and banging.
Yeah. And,
but I can, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not scared to change my own oil. Yeah. I'll change air filter, and shoot, I even did a thermostat on my car a couple weeks back, so. And I think maybe that's from, you know, watching my dad get under there and fix the brakes because he didn't want to get into a wreck. But I think I've gravitated to action figures. And that's where I'm definitely at now. You know, I do a lot of Marvel Legends. I try not to, but I really like Star Wars Black Series. I do have a handful of imports. I try to keep the Black Series toned down a little bit. Focus it to villains. I actually don't even have a whole lot of the main characters, but my Star Wars, you know, addiction, I guess, or affliction maybe, goes way back to Power of the Force. That stuff started coming out. I had got my first job, you know, out of high school in the mid 90s, and having money of my own, was able to buy all the toys that I couldn't get as a kid. So I went hard on Power of the Force, all the way up, probably, shoot, well, orange cards and green card. Oh, and then so I have huge, still to this day, mint on card, a lot of stuff. I posted a video probably about 2 years ago of me opening up the 3¾ Han Solo with the carbonite. My little boy was having a birthday party, and we encased the Han Solo and carbonite in ice, in a big block of ice, and let the kids shoot warm water with squirt guns to release him as a little game. But when a lot of my long-term friends saw me opening the package, I did a live stream on Facebook. Hey, guys, I'm going to open this up for Robbie's birthday, you know, and it was just this huge stream of lists, you know, have you lost your mind? What happened to you? You know, like the changing of the guards, you know, the golden years are over.
He's probably
going to
cringe when he hears this, huh?
You know, and...
This is how you open that?
You went to the dark side.
I came and went to the dark side. It was a lot of that, but... you know, as a lot of other fellow collectors in the community point out, that you have to enjoy your toys. I mean, this is my focus, you know, when I say a lot of people, I mean me. You have to enjoy your toys how you like. And while I do collect stuff in box, I'm not afraid to open them. Yeah. You know, I'll open them up, play them. I like taking out the bath figures and building those. That's kind of a huge attraction for me with the Marvel Legends stuff. I did not get on very early. I saw Ghost Rider in Target in one part, which was part of the Rhino,
figure,
but I really had no interest in anything else. I just liked the design of Ghost Rider and was like, I'm going to buy this toy. My wife didn't say anything to me, so I was like, okay, you know, maybe one more then. And it wasn't until a little bit later that they had the Juggernaut wave. A buddy of mine had, he's like, man, you're really into these figures, right? And he's like, our shop got in a full case of them. And I think I might have ordered one too many. You know, are you interested in it? I don't want to get in trouble. Or he didn't want to get in trouble because he had ordered too much. And I was like, you know what? That thing's got Wolverine in it. You know,
Deadpool.
You get to build a giant Juggernaut. It has Deadpool with all these weapons in there. And I was like, you know what? You know, I work some extra hours. I'll buy that full case from you. So I got a full case of Marvel Legends, and I didn't open it.
Yeah.
I sat on that thing for like a year probably.
In the box,
sealed. You know, I looked at them and everything, but I didn't build a figure. I had other things going on in my life. I was, you know, my things with my business were picking up. And... it wasn't until the third X-Men wave, which was probably about a year ago, I think me and
Deadpool.
And, yeah, me and James White. Shout out James White. Started collecting hardcore about the same time, and he had a figure that he posted online, and I was like, oh, let's see what this other, you know, what else this guy has, and he had posted a wave of the first Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, and so I sent him a message, and I was like, hey man, what's the best you can do on that? You know, I can, it's got all the figures, and you can build the Groot. You know, my kids had just seen that movie. I'm like, ah, he's like, give it $65. And I was like, cool, man, I'll meet you at Spring Valley. Let's do it. Met him in the parking lot. And that was the end. That was the end of the beginning. You know, the beginning of the end. And I built that figure. I was like, these things are so cool. Let me go back and open up that case of X-Men. And build that juggernaut. And, you know, and it's got Kitty Pryde in there. And then right at that same time, that X-Men wave came out, the Apocalypse build. And it was just sealed my fate, dude. You took that one, huh? You know, and I
the Apocalypse back.
Yeah, so that to me, yeah, was
Rob, you're into photography also, right? You take pictures of your Marvel. You just started, or you?
Yeah, I do. I do photography. You know, it's kind of a personal thing to me. Mm-hmm. I think I might be a little bit like self-conscious about the quality of figures. You know, there's a lot of people that take really killer pics, and I do enjoy looking at what they do. You know, George's got some real cool pics. He took some awesome shots in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Kev Fishbeck, I think, was doing some shots. There was a show in National City, and I think the Cable had just came out, like that Deadpool wave with the Rob Liefeld looking Cable with the big shoulder pad.
That was Mike Odom, I think.
Was it Mike Odom? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
At the United Toy Group.
It was because
Donnie had just found them.
Gave it to him, and he was shooting pics of it, and I was like, looked at his pictures, I'm like, my gosh, dude. It made me want to buy a camera, but I was like, I can't afford that.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta spend this money on toys.
He did the review actually on my table.
Yeah.
He was right there. Yeah. That's right. You know, that kind of got me piqued is photography. I've always liked taking landscapes and stuff like that, and I've traveled quite a bit, so everywhere, you know, my wife and I have huge like photo books of shots that we've taken all around the world. So I do like taking toy photography, but that's a real personal thing to me. I also do a lot of box customs, know, and they come out cool sometimes. Some of them are better than others. I like to recreate stuff that didn't exist. So like if you have a Bath figure that doesn't have a box, you know, I'll actually do a custom box and put the name on it, and people are like, it's reverse thinking, you know, toys, you're supposed to take them out, not put them in the box, but I play with them too. I have an extra display, you know, with doing custom repacks and stuff like that. And it's a challenge for me to try and find the right inner shell for a particular figure and interchange them with box fronts. And sometimes you'll find a better box for somebody. And I have a plotter that cuts vinyl, so I can do, you know, pretty accurate fonts and stuff like that, and that's a lot of fun for me.
That's cool,
man. I know a lot of the custom guys. Xavier doing some really cool customs, not just on his cars but his packaging too. You know, and to see that he did one, a Tokidoki one for his wife, and my wife likes that style and brand too. And I showed her to that, and you know, her eyes lit up, and she really doesn't. You know, she likes toys in the general sense. You know, she's not a hardcore collector these days. She likes Disneyana and you know, some Nightmare Before Christmas stuff, and has a pretty big collection of vintage My Little Ponies. But she's not like a hardcore collector.
You're not a brony?
I am not a brony. No, I wouldn't go as far as to tell
articulation.
That. Yeah, that's what it is. You know,
weapons.
No weapons.
No weapons, exactly.
You know, I will say I do have one vintage My Little Pony, and it's a construction worker that I bought for her collection, and I had to order it from England.
Oh.
And he's like it's like a Clydesdale. And she, you know, it wasn't mine until it came in the mail, and she said, "Your pony is here." I was like, okay. You know, I have daughters, and when that was a huge thing, I watched the show with them, so I know a lot of the characters and the storytelling behind it, and you know, there's something to it, but not a crony by far. Not a chance.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
I've never heard that.
I know there's guys that collect them, but.
Yeah, there's a whole documentary. There's people, the guys that wear shirts.
They have tattoos, bro. They have their marks, bro. Yeah. You know, yeah. They have their kitty mark and shit.
I don't begrudge anybody their fandom. Yeah. You know, it's
crazy.
I got a ton of buddies with, I got bad tattoos too, but, hey, man, nothing's worse than a bad Captain America tattoo. You know, it looks real bad. Oh, man.
It's got a mustache.
You know, we all got our fandom, so I don't begrudge anybody their flavor. And you like what you like, you collect what you like. And if somebody out there needs a My Little Pony, I'll help you find it.
Earlier you mentioned that you had a business. I don't know if you want to dive into that.
Yeah. So yeah, Toshworks is an art and design company here in San Diego, and we make started out making mini comics and related merchandise. I do screen printing and vinyl custom decals, and we exhibit at Comic-Con. We've been doing Comic-Con and WonderCon for, almost the last 20 years now. Started out as a fun kind of joke and hobby, saying, oh, there's people behind the table, I could do that too. So we got a table, and it just has snowballed since then, to where, that's kind of my first job. Everything else I do, I work in a collectible store here in San Diego, and that's my 9-to-5, but Toshworks is my real gig. And so if any of you guys need custom decals, definitely reach out. We're toshworks.com. We're also on a crafting site called Etsy, etsy.com, and you can search Toshworks on that. And yeah, we do a lot of craft and crochet work. We make these little cactus out of yarn, which we're, kind of well-known in the crafting community, art community here in San Diego. And we do a ton of outreach, real big on literacy. We do workshops with the San Diego Public Library. So you can search Toshworks through that and come out. Adults, we do it with kids, from San Ysidro all the way up to Rancho Bernardo. So
we're saying that you've been in Comic-Con for the last 20 years. How have you seen it develop since you first started?
Oh, it's huge. I've been exhibiting for that long, so I've been selling, my artwork and my craft and designs and stuff for that long. But I've actually been attending San Diego Comic-Con since 1989. Before it even the last year that it was at the concourse, my sister was downtown paying a parking ticket. She said, "Oh, look on that marquee up there. That sign says, Comic-Con has comic books. You like comic books? Let's go check it out." And they just let us in. We didn't even pay or anything and went in. It was two meeting halls, I guess, of comic books. And I was in heaven, man. I was probably about 11 or 12 years old, at that point, and I was blown away. So I'm like, hey, how often do you do this? Once a year, so once a year, man, I would go downtown and, save up money, try and, scrim together whatever cash I could. Sometimes it was $20, and sometimes I'd go with no money. And I've seen it grow and, into another beast. A lot of people get upset about, oh, it's not about comic books anymore. And the comic books are still there. There's a lot more of the other stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit challenging for some people. It wasn't until this past year, 2018, that I personally and truly noticed that there were significantly less comics.
Yeah.
And you know, and that was a kind of a harsh realization from me being a huge comic book guy to begin with. You know, I have, you know, no joke, I have thousands and thousands of comic books, you know, half of them, honestly, I really don't want, you know, and it, you know, and it's, you know, it's a, it, it's a, the bane of my existence, and one day I'll be rid of them, but
yeah.
I don't know. For me, I hated last year's Comic-Con. I think them cutting off, you know, the public for only the people that had the badges can cross over and go in the front. I mean, there's a lot of people, and I try to tell people, like, local people, like, hey, if you've never been to the Comic-Con, go. I mean, just being out there, there's so much stuff to do for free. You don't have to go inside. But I think that was, for me personally, it was like a slap in the face of like the San Diego community, for them to say, you know what, we don't want you up in the front, only people who are buying the tickets, you know, because a lot of the times the people up in the front, you know, the good costumes, the good stuff is out there in the front. You can see celebrities. I've seen a few celebrities like come out to smoke, and you know, you can talk to some of them in the front. But for them to, you know, cut it off and say, you know what, only badge people can cross, and you know,
I think their biggest concern with that was that
the traffic.
Apart from the traffic,
like walking traffic.
Well, they would get a lot of people sneaking through the back.
Oh, for real?
Like only badge holders, of course. Like, but there would be people who would be waiting to get in line, and they would go to the back to cut the people that had already stopped there for the longest time.
Yeah, a lot of that was happening because of exclusives.
Yeah,
and you know, while you know, I have a fair amount of exclusives in my personal collection, it's not the main draw for me when it comes to conventions. And I think that almost is, you know, I don't like to talk about negatives too much, but like scalper culture, and that's there's a
huge population of scalpers at San Diego Comic Con.
It's a big portion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're flippers, and they don't have any vested interest or love of, you know, what they're doing. And honestly, you're not making a whole lot of money. You know, I mean, and I think they're not necessarily doing that for, they're doing it for the rush.
Yeah.
There's that sense of, ooh, I got it.
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm going to flip it and I'm going to make $10 on it. Like,
the only way you're going to be able to make some money is if you really do your research. And now it's getting even harder because of the lottery system. So I think they're trying to get rid of a lot of the flippers.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's significantly... Well, last year was bad, especially at the Funimation booth for the, what was the fucking exclusive? The Metallic Wiz Funko Pop?
Yeah.
It was one of the only things that was like an easy flip, which you could get for 15, and it was selling for like...
Yeah, 40 bucks, 50 bucks or something?
Uh-uh.
More than that?
Yeah, like 200 at one point, and then it went down to like 150, and it's stayed like around like 135, I guess, to 150.
Doesn't have any weapons.
Where's the articulation?
Bro.
Yeah.
Funko. Like, there's people who will because they go up in value, bro. It's a lot.
Isn't there a bubble, though?
I think Funko cannot be considered a bubble anymore.
You think it surpassed that?
I think so.
It's not a Beanie Baby?
I don't think so,
you know?
Dude.
It's not gonna be.
I don't think so. Like the popularity has definitely risen a lot, but they show no signs of slowing down. And people are still buying. Yeah. And I can tell you because I own some of the stock.
That's awesome.
And the stock has like when they first started, it was like $8, and granted, they've acquired a lot of different
licenses
and and licenses and everything throughout different places of the world, not only in the U.S. You know, they've bought a couple stuff from like the U.K. and stuff, a couple companies, and they're manufacturing different toys now. I don't know if you've seen like and I know some of them are not that great, but you never know what's gonna hit.
Yeah. You never know, you know, what can come about.
Yeah. So
we're growing.
I think, you know, on their stuff, I like Funko. I like Funko as a company. You know, I've met, you know, the originator, the founder of the company on a personal basis, and had an opportunity to talk to him.
Mike Becker?
Yeah. I met Mike a couple times. He's a really nice guy, genuinely nice guy.
Yeah,
shout out to Mike Becker.
Yeah, he, you know, I had an opportunity to talk with him a little bit, and he invited me to you know, one of their events. And I love their focus on it. Love that they... no, it was not Fun Days. I'd still like to go to that because it looks like a fun event. But it was
something
a pop-up shop.
Oh, okay.
You know, they had which I don't think they're doing anymore. But he essentially just extended, you know, VIP access to the, you know, and had a chance to go in the back room and and take a look around. And, you know, he was super busy.
Which was Funko South, right, basically?
Yes, Funko South. Yeah, and it was the year that they had some of the Hanna-Barbera.
Okay.
One of the coolest things that I saw with them is they had custom
Freddy's.
The particular one was Marvin the Martian.
Oh, okay.
And they had a bunch of artists, both like fine artists and, you know, comic creators. There was one that Jim Lee did, you know, the original, you know, painted ones. And that was really cool to get
original art.
Yeah, original art to kind of look up close and personal, and, you know, and see how it works. And you know, if given the opportunity, I do want to go up to Seattle and check out their
I want to do that too.
Their big shop up there. Mm-hmm. But Funko, I like their outreach and when they collab with other companies like Super 7. There's a, you know, Super 7 is a they have a shop in San Diego. I think they're out of San Francisco originally. But their founder for that company is really cool too. I've had an opportunity to chat with him, and his focus on toys and is you know, and pop culture in general. They do a lot of the monster movie stuff and Godzilla, and, you know, they've got some 80s properties. They have some really cool He-Man, you know, what those would be called. They're not 3¾. What's the size of a He-Man?
They're like the
five inch. Yeah. So those are really cool.
Like,
and they're
the
doing
DC
the Savage.
Primal, like the DC
Savage World and DC Primal. And we used to have, not to digress too much, we used to have crazy battles. There was these Heshers, like heavy metal kids in our neighborhood way back in the day, and they were all about He-Man. Like, and, you know, we were G.I. Joe, and, dude, we would have, like, these epic battles where we would meet halfway in these, you know, I was telling Benjamin, you know, Benjamin and I, Milosino is my neighbor, man. There's this lot that they've recently built, a library on, beautiful new library there, Skyline Hills branch. But there's still this open lot behind there that's a huge portion of it. And it was in between like a grocery store and this big apartment building. And we had, you know, while we were, you know, I lived really close to the apartment, there was a camaraderie, but also, you know, like a, I don't know. I guess we were frenemies, I guess, the best way. And there was these Heshers, these heavy metal kids that would play in that, you know, with their He-Mans. And we were like, we want to play there too, you know. We would bring our Joes and our Jeeps. And they had, you know, they rode BMX. They had, like, you know, they had bikes. And we were skateboarders. So they were on more than one front. And they, you know, would build these dirt jumps. And we would take our toys and we would... I don't know, you mad because your battle cat can't roll? I don't know, bro. I don't know why you're mad, Abby.
Get out of here. I think as kids, I don't know, speaking of rivalries, I think as kids, we used to have a rivalry with the apartments across the street. Like, there was a rivalry.
Dang.
And then eventually we all became a group of friends. But, oh my God.
So there's always been that, you know, I still to this day am not a He-Man guy. I love the character design, you know, the toys that raised this documentary kind of opened my eyes a little bit and made me appreciate it a little bit more.
I kind of like the DC Primal Age.
Yeah,
line.
Yeah.
Like, I love, you can ask Benjamin every time that we find the new one, I'm like...
Was it the commercial that got you?
No, dude.
Because the commercial almost got me. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't like the He-Man look. Like, I don't know what it is.
The mold.
Yeah, I don't like it, but there's something about those figures that like really, really get me. And I don't know why. And it's weird. But you were going to say that you really like He-Man?
Oh, yeah. I love it. The only reason I liked He-Man, too, was because like I'm like you. Like, my parents didn't have a lot of money. I had a cousin that, you know, he was the only child. And, you know, his dad would buy him every single He-Man. So whenever he would come to my house, he would have the brand new He-Man figures and all that stuff. And so in my childhood, I never had, you know, the He-Man. So yeah, like right now, whenever I have the money and I've already found like 3 or 4 in my collection now, but I want more.
Yeah.
But that was the thing for me is that, you know, I wanted the He-Man, I wanted the figures. Like right now, oh, sorry, I didn't mean that, but the many faces. Man, I was like fighting this dude, like, you know, like, hey, can I have it for this price? And he would shoot me back another price, and finally we ended up in $10 and he sent it to me, and I was like, finally got him in my collection.
But I only have one He-Man in my collection, and it's a newer one. They did one kind of in the mid-2000s, I think. There was these sculptors, the Four Horsemen, that were doing real cool sculpts on them. And they had a Comic-Con exclusive, which I picked up. It was Keldor, which is Skeletor before he, you know. And essentially it has a couple different heads to it. I'm a sucker for interchangeability. Love mashups. You know, I love kit bashes and making custom figures that way. But the Keldor has his human face, and then like this, you know, magic potion or something falls on his head and his face starts to melt away. Yeah. And then it's got the Skeletor head too. And I'm like, you know what? That's one of the, you know.
That's 3 figures in 1.
It's 3 in 1. It is. It is. You know, and that to me is like, that's a He-Man that I will have in my collection. You know, he's iconic. It looks really cool. You know.
They've been coming out with like some like lead, like I guess like articulated He-Man figures. I don't know if you guys have seen them. Mm. They're like legends. I think Big Lots was selling them at $10.
Really?
I think.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. I can't remember.
Yeah, the recent line of the He-Mans, I've seen them too on the different sites, but I don't really like that sculpt. I'm more into the old style sculpt.
The vintage.
Because they're a lot more skinnier. And all of them look like their spines are like...
Yeah.
Even the He-Man, his spine is like curved.
They're hunchback.
They're hunchback, yeah. And I don't know, for some reason, I don't like any of the styles. I mean, it'd be cool to have just to say...
It's because it's what we grew up with. Like, honestly, I like Joes.
Yeah.
But the modern Joes just don't... Like, I buy them. I love the accessories.
Did you, Benjamin, did you do a lot of the 25th anniversary?
Of course.
That was pretty hardcore for me too. I try to take it easy on that and just get core figures that I really wanted. It's tough.
There's so much of it.
And I was kind of dreading them. I'm like, I hope they don't do this for 30th anniversary because I, you know, when's the next one? Shout out to, Michael Kaiser. Kaiser and I go way, way back too, and he's kind of my Joe guru. He's my Joe guru when it comes to that, and he's actually the guy inadvertently that brought me together with you guys, with the Beta Podcast, with the Collector Showroom. He had sent me an invite to, I think it was San Diego Toy Collectors Group, which then fed into Toy Collectors United. Which morphed to Collector Showroom and then to the Beta Podcast. So in a roundabout way, he kind of started it. And shout out to him and for inadvertently introducing me to you guys. Who, you know, I appreciate everything you guys do for the community, and I know that's said a lot, and not to beat a dead horse, but it is true. You know, anybody that's listening out there, if you need anything, holler at these guys because they'll help you out. You know, they'll point you in the right direction if they don't have it in their own stock. Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of the stuff that these guys, you know, sell, and at the prices that they sell, why go to the stores? You know, these guys have what you need and at the best price you can possibly get.
And if we don't have it, I can guarantee you that I can at least try to either find to lead you or to try to find it for you and give it to you at give it to you guys for a good price. And I'm not saying it to like show off or anything, you know. I'm like, yeah, we're genuinely trying to help out the community, because we know it's tough, you know. We all come from, I mean, I'm not fucking rich or anything. I'm pretty sure none of us.
No, like, I'm rich. You know? No, I'm just kidding. I'm broke as a joke.
It's tough, you know? Yeah. That's one of the things that you were saying, like, about Mike Becker that really resonated, because it's something that he doesn't do it for the money, you know? Like, mm-hmm. The guy from Funko, he's literally has it, and I've only met him once, which was at the first Rocket Con.
Yeah.
When the Pop Brothers, they took him as a special guest to their booth, and I got to meet him there, and he made sure to tell me, like, oh, I'm the COF of the company. And he said, do you know what that stands for? And I was like, no, to be honest, I don't. And he was like, is the creator of fun.
Yeah,
that's what he says, you know, like, he's the creator of fun. He's not, you know, like,
not a financial thing.
Yeah, like, and you know, he's saying it genuinely, because you can tell the way he's telling you, and like, he's making sure that you get that vibe, you know.
He's got a sparkle in his eye.
Yeah, and I was like, hell yeah, like, this guy is fucking legit, you know, like, and that's like, and I really enjoy that. So that's what we're trying to do as a community here in San Diego too, you know, like, try to help each other out so that we can like build something together, you know, because it's like, this is hopefully, I mean, I don't know if this is gonna be a good outlet or a bad outlet, but it's cool to just get to know each other and have an actual relationship versus just either going there and then like trying to talk crap about people or like talking behind their backs or like,
yeah, you know? I think that's one thing that we as a community have to strive to, and you guys have been really good about that. Shout out to everybody that's out there too. That let's try and get together and do more VFW style things. I think those, you know, whatever our differences may be in what we collect or our views on collecting or inbox or mint on card or loose or, you know, 12 inch, whatever it may be, those meetups, those you know, VFW style shows, you walk in that door and you feel the love, you feel the fandom, you know, and you got, you know, you can go say hi to everybody you've seen, you maybe not seen them in a month or 2 months, and it's like you had just talked to them last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing I like about that, when we went to Rocket Con, I don't know if you were there, but we all got together and took a photo. Yeah. At that point, I was like, dang, these guys, they're not competing against each other. It's almost like getting close to like a family, because everybody was like, oh yeah, well, let's take a picture, and we all got together. And,
yeah, and, you know, and I mean, there's even more. There's a lot of us. I mean, you guys definitely are the core. You guys are, you know, the heart of the community, and everybody that floats in our circles or in our different radiuses, you know, to have them all gathered together in one time. I mean, I was joking with Mike Kaiser, because he went to Rocket Con and was like on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, oh man, I was let down, I didn't get in the picture. He was joking, but
we literally had to, me and somebody else had to literally run around and get the people, because we had such a short time to freaking go around and get the people and then have the time to take the photo.
And then alternate people that were holding our booths.
Yeah. So
Jerry,
I mean,
had to come in.
That's why I don't know if I mentioned it to the people from RocketCon, but probably I'll tell them, like, let's probably get like some sort of system going where they take a picture of all the vendors that you know.
That's cool. Yeah. That's something that would be, you know, really, really awesome.
And like, we're working on something to make like a once a year show, hopefully, Ben and I, and we don't know like when we're gonna, because we're trying to do it as cheaply as possible so that everybody can benefit. Not like we're not trying to benefit, you know, we don't need to, we're just trying to have somewhere everybody can get together, like you say, like VFW style, because it's really like, I think it makes a difference in people's lives, you know. It takes them away from their routine and they have a good time, you know.
That's definitely something to look forward to. Yeah.
So it's getting closer to 11 and Rob has to go work, so life is kicking in, you know. I guess we could walk a little bit over there so that we can get these last few minutes in. Is there anything else that you wanted to add or anything else that you guys wanted to say?
I just want to say that I was stoked to have Rob here in the podcast. You know, we've been trying to get together to do this, and you know, when the first time I had mentioned it to him about this, and
Sorry it took so long to get on, and I know this is going to be really hard for you to cut, Eduardo, because we're all over the place.
No, it's not going to be tough at all, dude.
I know with us, we really vibe with one another and probably could do a whole another hour, so maybe we'll revisit this another 10 episodes from now.
When he showed me the time, Javier showed me the time right now, I was like, oh, dang, it's already 10:55. Yeah, I was like, oh, dang. So we're definitely going to have to do another episode. Whether that's a whole different episode or some type of big collaboration or something that we do somewhere. It was a pleasure having you on, Rob.
Thank you, Eduardo. Appreciate that. Benjamin and Xavier, for having me on. And yeah, man, let's do this again. Let's keep the positive energy flowing. Best of luck in all your future endeavors. Yeah.
Likewise. Thank you and have a good day. Beta Fam, this was episode 13. It was Eduardo,
Benjamin,
Xavier,
and Rob Tosh.
See you guys.